Good morning, PGC. This is Pastor Ian. Thank you for joining us for our worship service this morning. Today, I want to talk to you guys about idols. Now, as I've been walking through the city of Lviv, where I'm currently living, it's really easy to spot Instagrammers because you'll always see, most of the time, women dressed a little bit differently than everybody else. They're dressed a little bit too nicely, and they always are posing in front of either a shop or a statue or with flowers. Or, you know, there was one woman, and she was actually jumping in front of a store. And she would have this guy who was taking a picture, and then she would take the picture, and then she'd go back and she'd do it again and again and again until she got the shot exactly how she liked it. And I never really understood Instagrammer culture when I was living in Canada, because, you know, I just walked down the street, I wouldn't really see people just stopping to take pictures of themselves, or for people to be taking pictures of them. Like, you'd see it now and again, but it never really seemed as big of a deal. And then I come here and I realize that bloggers and Instagrammers are incredibly popular. And to such a degree that sometimes stores will give them discounts as long as they're just holding on to their products. We're not even talking about, like, big name companies. We're just talking about ordinary shops. And it's easy for bloggers to take on a life of their own, to a point where they're no longer just like the rest of us, where they are Instagrammers, and somehow that makes them different. Somehow that makes them above us. And this can get to the point where people forget that they are just like everybody else. When we talk about idols, we talk about anything that occupies our heart in a way that only God should. Basically, to make it really simple, an idol is anything that we can't live without. Now, when I say that, I don't mean something that we literally can't live without, like water or food or oxygen. But I mean something that has so captured our heart that the idea of living without it is too much to bear. One of my favorite stories of all time is The Lord of the Rings, and anybody who is my friend will know that it's my favorite movie. And if you didn't know that it's my favorite movie, then maybe you really need to question whether or not we are friends. Just kidding, it's okay. Lots of people don't know that. But one of the primary characters in the story is so obsessed with this thing called the ring, to the point where they develop a split personality, which is just obsessed with getting it and holding it and having it, and anything they can do to get it, they're willing to do. Doesn't matter who they have to kill, doesn't matter who they have to bite, doesn't matter, they need it. That's an idol. Now we can look at that and say, okay, well yeah, that's an idol, but I don't have anything like that. I'm not, you know, falling head over heels to find some random thing off the ground. But each of us has something in our heart that we love in a way that only God should be loved. Now, maybe you don't love it right now, but maybe you know of a time when you did, when there was something that occupied your heart so much that you just could not put it down. We read in Scripture, we read about how the people of God struggled with not just worshiping God, but worshiping created things, worshiping these idols of stone, wood, gold, and silver. And there was a problem because God demanded, he said, listen, I'm the only one who should be worshipped. No idols in my house. Worship me alone as your creator. And we can look at Daniel chapter 3 and we can see how the people of God are among those who worship the golden statue of Nebuchadnezzar. Because what happens is this. We've seen last week, Nebuchadnezzar, he honors God, he honors Daniel. It looks like there's a breakthrough in his faith. But immediately afterwards, what does he do? He creates a golden statue of himself. And he says that all people have to worship it at a specific time. There's a moment when somebody when the music starts playing, nobody starts dancing, but everybody starts worshiping. And anybody who doesn't worship gets thrown into a blazing furnace. Nebuchadnezzar demands to be worshipped as a god, even though he is but a man. And it's easy for us to look down on those people and be like, how stupid can you be? Why would you worship something like that? It's just a golden statue. It's just a human. What are you doing? But the problem is that we also have moments in our lives when we worship things in a way that we shouldn't. We live in a culture which is understanding when we worship money, when we worship sex, when we worship popularity, when we worship freedom at the cost of other people and their safety. What happens when we worship something so much without even knowing it that it actually takes the place of God in our lives. What we find is that idols in themselves are a sign that our hearts are not totally captured by God. It's a reminder that God's love is enough for us to be saved from our sins, but we constantly need him every single day to renew and restore the relationship we have with him. Because as created things, there is that weakness within us to worship anything but God. Now, in this particular situation, in Daniel chapter 3, we see that King Nebuchadnezzar has a created thing. He has an idol of gold. And it is common in the ancient Near East. That means the Mesopotamia area, that means in Babylon and Assyria and Persia and Greece and Rome. There are all these different places where you weren't worshiping necessarily just an invisible god, but you'd have a small little statue or something to remind you of the god that you're worshiping to. And so you would have houses where they would be worshiping specific gods, or you'd have a city that worshiped one god as opposed to all of them the most. And so there would be this understanding that if you have an idol in your house, you might say a prayer, you might burn some offering or some incense, and that was in a way of your worshiping the god. But really it went deeper than that. It wasn't so much just worshiping the god, it was about worshiping what that god was going to give you. Notice how many of these different cultures ascribe or give different characteristics to the gods. Ares was the god of war, so if you were interested in warfare, if you were going to battle, or if you wanted protection from him, you would be worshiping him for that purpose. You're not just doing it out of the goodness of your heart, it's because you want something from them. You know, if you were worshiping one of the gods of the harvest, you're doing it because you want to have a harvest. Basically, these idols are representing normal, natural things, normal desires that we have. And basically, we're projecting them onto these different statues of gold, silver, wood, or stone. We're taking something that's good, and we're taking it too far. Where we're now, instead of just saying, you know what, I really wish that we could have a good harvest this year, it's saying, I'm going to worship a God who will give me these things. But now in our culture, all we've done is we've gotten rid of the statues. We still have those desires. If you're a farmer, do you not want to have a good harvest? If you're a husband, do you not want to have a good relationship with your wife? If you're, you know, if you're starting a family, do you not want children? Do you not want to have healthy children? If you're a country that's at war, do you want to lose? If you're running a business, do you want to make money or do you want to lose it? Do you want to spend your entire life single and alone, or do you want to find love? Do you want people to make fun of you? Do you want people to just keep saying how you're stupid or dumb or never appreciate you? Of course not. Because those are natural and normal desires that we have. The problem is when those things go from just being normal, natural desires that we have to being something that we can't live without. Someone who's so desperate to find a boyfriend that they'll literally settle for anybody who breathes. Doesn't have to be a quality person, doesn't have to be a person of character, somebody who will take care of them, not even somebody who looks good and who they actually find attractive, just because they can't stand the thought of being alone. Somebody who dedicates themselves so much to their work because they want to be successful and they have to make money and they don't just want to be, you know, good at their job, they need to be the best, and that means that they dedicate all their available time to that one thing and then they don't have time for anything else. I remember years ago there was a story of someone who was working as a temp in, I believe it was an architectural firm, and they were working over 90 hours a week. They were pushing to the point where I believe they were working so much they actually died in the shower from sheer exhaustion. Now explain to me if that's normal. You have people who are so needy to be liked, to be popular, that they spend so much time on Instagram where they have to have the perfect photo to show people how amazing their life really is, when really deep down they don't have anything, but they need to be liked. We have people who are so desperate for sex that they're willing to do and watch anything. They're willing to go to any type of massage parlor because they know what happens afterwards. That they're willing to pay people to have sex with them. We see how these natural, healthy desires actually can go beyond the point where they are good for us, to the point where we can't live without them. And the moment we've crossed that threshold, when the moment we've gone too far, our hearts are now occupied with them more than they should be. And that means that we aren't actually free to worship God, because now there's another God kicking around inside of our heart. What we see in Daniel chapter 3 is a clear choice for the people of God, for the people of all the nations. That means for us as well. The choice is to either worship the golden statue or to be thrown into the burning furnace. But we don't have that stark choice. We don't have somebody over our shoulder saying, listen, you can either worship this idol or you get destroyed. Instead, we have the Lord of the heavens, the God of gods, the creator of all things, who says, worship me, because I'm the one who deserves your worship, because I'm the one who made you, who created you. You were designed to be in relationship with me, and instead you're giving it away to everybody else. The choice for the believer and for the non-believer is the exact same, but the positions are now reversed. The choice is either we can worship God as he deserves, or we will be thrown into the blazing furnace. There are idols in our lives, things that have so controlled us that we are no longer happy with ourselves, to the point where we are no longer people that we want to be anymore, or people that nobody else wants to be around. When we trade the good things that we know are true for the things that we can't live without, we will suffer in different ways. In the example I mentioned earlier, if the person is so dedicated to their work that they're unable to have time for anything else, how many kids have grown up in homes where their parents are never really there for them because they're always working? Because they don't have time for them. How many wives have had to deal with husbands who just don't have time for them when they get home because they've been working so hard to the point that they can't keep going? Rejecting idols means fighting against things that normally we would say are normal, natural desires. But when they've gone too far, that's when we have to stop. But the problem is, number one, oftentimes we can't stop because it's something that has so captured our heart that it's not easy to let go. And number two, because we live in a culture that promotes these particular values or these desires that we have, to the point where if you reject them, people think that you're strange or odd or different. In Daniel chapter 3, we see in verse 7 that all the nations are worshiping. It's not just one group. It's everybody who's worshiping. They're worshiping because they don't want to get thrown into the blazing furnace, but also because there may be some people there who actually believe. We live in a culture that values material things, that values sex, that values having fun, that values being popular, that values being successful. And sometimes our culture goes too far and just kicks us a little bit too much. My wife and I, we were watching Emily in Paris I believe it was last month, and it's interesting to watch that show and to see how much they glorify and how much they promote the idea of just sleeping with anybody because they feel like it. To the point where you're watching and you're like, man, I really don't want my kids to watch that. I don't want my kids to think that's perfectly fine for you to jump whoever's bones they happen to be around. Our culture takes it too far. And oftentimes it's not the moral majority, it's not the silent majority of people who drag the culture one way or another. Most of the time it's the most outspoken people who say, well, there's nothing wrong with having fun. You're just prudish. What's wrong with you? There's nothing wrong with making money. There's nothing wrong with having a good job. There's nothing wrong with going out just to have a good time. There's nothing wrong with me expressing myself sexually this way. And then we can get dragged along with it. Because we don't just float through our culture, it has an impact on us. It is how we understand and process the world that we live in, telling us that there are some things that are acceptable and there are some things that are not acceptable. It gives us idols and then watches which ones we choose. Nebuchadnezzar gave his people a choice. He's like, listen, you can either worship me or I burn you alive. It's your choice. And we have the same choice, to either worship or be destroyed. The only difference is, what are we worshiping? What is our idol? My idol was and is being right. It's being proud of thinking that I'm better than everybody else and not being afraid to try and prove it. And even as a Christian person, it's not as if the moment that I accepted Jesus, all of a sudden it went snap like that and no longer cared about being right or being proud. I was. And in my life, I have had moments when, to my deep shame, I've put down other people so that I myself felt good about who I was. My friends even, people that I cared about, but who were just in my way. They were competing for attention. And I needed that to stop because I needed to be right and I wanted to be the center of attention and for people to know that I wasn't just good, I was the best and the smartest. And I was the one who was worthy of people looking at me like, that Ian, he's a good guy. Not perfect, but I mean, he's pretty good. Better than everybody else. And that's what I wanted. And that made me insufferable sometimes. Some of my friends might be nodding, being like, more than sometimes. But that was my idol, and that is my idol. Because even if I say, you know what, I no longer care about that, there's that tendency to want to be right. And actually, being married has actually helped me quite a lot in that respect, because now there are more times when I'm not right than before. Because I'm in relationship with someone who sees me day in and day out. So I can tell when I'm having that tendency to want to be right with her. Rejecting our idols means looking deep within ourselves and saying, okay, what is it that I want most? What is it in my heart that drives me to a point that is no longer healthy? I don't want us to look at the things that we want and be like, well, Pastor Ian said, you know, whatever it is that you want, that's got to be an idol. It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. For some people, your idol could be your phone, where literally that's the only thing that you care about in that moment, and God help you if anybody tries to stop you. For some people, it might be video games, where you know what? All you want to do is play video games, and if anybody interrupts you, God help them because you're going to lay it into them. For some people, it may be physical fitness, where they no longer are acting in a healthy way because they're chasing after a certain type of body that they just don't have. I can't tell you what your idol is because I don't necessarily know your heart. I can help you understand what your idol is, but ultimately it is up to us to look inside of our own hearts to see what is that thing that attracts us to the point where it's no longer healthy. If you're a perfectionist where everything has to be absolutely perfect, otherwise just burn the whole house down. There's an example of an idol in your life. I can't tell you that that's your idol because some people just like to be excellent. They just want to be perfect. And they can do it in a healthy way. And if that's true, good for you. But if it's something where if it's not perfect, all of a sudden your life is ruined and you don't want to be around anybody and what's the point? You just want to just tear everything down. Maybe you have an idol. Idols promise us what we want most. And then always let us down. It promises us that we will be satisfied with our lives, that we'll be happy, that we'll be content, that we will be finally at peace, but it never lasts. It never lasts. And it comes at a cost. Because when we don't have it, we suffer. Or we hurt other people. Because now we are not loving God, we're loving other things, and that means that other people are no longer necessarily as important to us. Or we don't take care of ourselves. We're become so fixated on being popular to the point where we no longer actually live a good life. We just want to look like we are living our good life. Idols promise us that we will have what we want. And they let us down. Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 28 basically says that the people of this world worship gods of stone and wood who have eyes and ears but don't see and don't hear. And that's what our idols are. They're useless. They don't actually help us. They don't help you in your situation right now. They don't deal with your sin. They don't deal with the need that you have. Instead, all it does is promise you something more and something more and something more and something more and drag you in. Idols can't help us live a good life. But God can give us a life. When we are living for God, when we are living with a kingdom-centered mindset, we change from thinking about what can I get or how can I improve or how can I have what I need. And instead we change to how can I honor God with my life. You notice how that changes? When we are getting rid of idols, we stop thinking about ourselves as the center of the universe, but our focus and our attention is towards God and what He wants and what He needs and what we can do for Him. Now, ultimately, God doesn't need anything. It's not about us fulfilling His needs and then, you know, somehow we're valuable to Him. It's about what is your mindset. If your mindset is being perfect for the sake of being perfect, that's not honoring God. If your goal is to be perfect so that you can honor the God who made you, notice the difference? If you're just trying to work so that way you can provide for your family because you want to be able to support them, to have a lifestyle where you can, you know, spend time with them, but also to, you know, take them on vacation so they can see the world, make sure that they have enough food, to make sure that they have clothes on their backs, that's not a bad thing to provide for your family. But to just make as much money as you possibly can, where is your heart leading you? A kingdom-centered mindset says that I will give all my heart for God. Not 99%, not 50%, not 33%, not 1%. But all of our heart and all of our life belongs to God. And that is a complete 180 from our culture. Because in our culture, what matters is yourself or your people or your family as opposed to God. And when we choose to deal with our idols, it means we have to fight against the culture current that pulls us and drags us out to sea. And sometimes instead of fighting against that current and saying, you know what, I'm just gonna do everything that I can, we just gotta let go and let God Himself be the one who transforms us. Because let's say you find your idol. Maybe your idol is a compulsive need to be liked. You say, well, you know what, I'll just try and not do that anymore. Good luck. I pray to God that you can do it. But when we encounter our idols, instead of saying, well, I'm just not going to do it anymore. Cold turkey, we're done. That may work for some people, but it doesn't work for everybody. Instead, we need to be aware of what it is that we worship. What is it that captures our heart in that way? To take it to God and say, God, take this from me, replace it in my heart with the love for you. Because if you're in this fight against an idol that has captured your heart, why would you fight it alone? If God Himself is willing to lend His strength and His power to help you, why would you go it alone? There were times in my life when I didn't pray for things because I wanted to do it myself. I didn't want God to have to do it for me. I thought, well, this isn't worth his time. He has bigger things to worry about. But God is outside of time. He is all powerful. It's not as if He can't help me. It's not as if by helping me I'm bothering Him. God loves to give good gifts to His children. He loves to honor us when we are calling to Him and saying, I know that I shouldn't be worshiping this thing. Help me to worship you instead. Idols are not cute quirks, not personality things that we just happen to have. That's just the way He is. Idols are things that distract us from God and drag us down and keep us attached to the world and worldly things. There's a 2nd century AD story about a man named Lucian, and basically he is a poor man who is going through the afterlife, and he sees a man with riches and wealth, and he has these little chains attached to him, and these chains connect him to the ground and keep him from floating off to go to be in the underworld. Our idols limit what we can do by making us concerned about things other than God to a point where we cannot healthily function with them, or to a point where we actually do damage to the people that we love. Why do we worship idols of stone or wood that can't see us or hear us or do anything for us? Why do we worship sex or money or popularity? Why do we worship our phones or our video games? Why do we worship these things? Because we are broken people who are desperate to worship something. We are designed to be creatures who worship. That's how God made us. The design was for us to worship Him, but along the way, the moment that sin got introduced to our world, the framework got broken a little bit. And now we will worship anything and everything other than God. There was a pastor in the 18th century, and he basically was describing how he would run into different people who were going into brothels. And it was something where he would see the men going into a brothel, which if you don't know what a brothel is, it's a place where you find a prostitute. If you don't know what a prostitute is, ask your parents what a prostitute is. Even if you're in your 20s, just call up your parents and ask them what a prostitute is. It's Pastor Ian who sent you. And you know what he said? He said, every man who knocks at the door of a brothel is looking for God. Someone might say, well, no, he just wants to have a fun time. No, no. Deep down, he's looking for God. He's looking for his need, his deep need to be at peace, to be fulfilled. And all of us have a need to worship, to be satisfied in our lives. But the only place that we will ever find rest is in Jesus Christ, is in God, the one who made us. And so we pray, God, show us our idols. Show us what it is that has captured our heart and stops us from worshiping you. And if you don't know anything about Jesus Christ, but you have that need, the need to be loved, the need to be at peace, that need to be satisfied with your life, and nothing satisfies you, come to the cross. Look and see what Jesus Christ has done for us, and see that He is good, and that He can transform your life, not by giving the thing that you want, but by giving you the thing that you need, by giving you life eternal with Him. Because at the end of the day, that's what we want most. You may say, well, I don't want that, I want this. No, 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 no. Deep down, you know that what we want most is to be in relationship with God, to have that part of our lives fixed. And there's only one who can do it, and that's God. So take your idols to Him. Take your idols of stone or wood or gold or silver. Take your idols of materialism or sex or popularity. Even if your idol is your phone or your computer, take your idols to Jesus Christ. And don't look back.